It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hi, welcome to Alaska Realty Today. I'm Lisa Maynard.
I'm Kirk Maynard.
And today we're going to continue our discussion of what happened this year, some strange stories, and we're going to also continue talking about if you inherit a property and you're in the process of selling it, some of the things you need to watch out for, because we've seen a lot of those transactions this year, and we sort of got finished off pretty quickly last episode, so we wanted to touch on a few more things on when you inherit a property and you're selling it after someone passes.
Sounds good. Yes, our exciting end of year, end of 2022 show. We just want to wrap it up and kind of have Jamie back and talk about some crazy stuff that has happened to her this last year and lessons learned, and share with you all what to watch out for and what to expect. So, yeah, let's talk about some of those items that we left off on, Jamie.
Yeah, I think we were talking about inheriting property. It was our last story on last week's episode. But I definitely think what we were discussing was really encouraging people to talk to a lawyer. I think that that's imperative that they make sure that they understand what they own, and then making sure that they have all of the necessary paperwork before they go into selling that specific piece of property. And then I think it's important to also meet with the realtor to see what they might need as far as any additional costs, because sometimes you don't know that you need an updated plot plan, or you don't know, you know, specifically that maybe the power has been turned off or the water's been turned off, or there might be some past bills that need to be paid. So there could be other things that we need to do some digging into, other companies that need to be called specifically on that property. And we can help with that process. We can definitely, you know, make sure that we've got the right contacts for the seller, and that we just want to go in eyes wide open, because I think it's important that
So just to back this up, are we talking in somebody's past?
Yeah, in general, and I've seen a lot of those types of transactions where they're possibly out of state, they're selling the property, they know they inherited the property, but then they're not really doing the footwork and not knowing exactly which direction to go, like calling the borough and checking on taxes is a big one. The utilities are real big ones. The cost, if stuff was turned off, there can be some considerable cost in that, especially if you're within city limits.
Yeah, so so think about that. If you just found out somebody's passed, oh boy, by the way, there's a property up in Fairbanks, Alaska. You're sitting down in Cleveland, Ohio, and you have no clue what to do, what to expect. Yeah, you need to get a hold of somebody, a professional, and somebody who's been through the process. And Jamie, you've been lucky enough to have bumped into a few. Those are your first few years. So what is the process then? Okay, so somebody calls you. What do I do? What can I expect? What kind of pitfalls? So you're probably going to look up the property, find out what's going on with it. You're going to get a hold of the borough, see if it's behind on taxes. It might be 2, 3, 4 years behind on taxes. That's not that uncommon for somebody who's going through an estate sale.
Yeah, and then just other resources that we might need, specifically if there's anything else that would be legal. In city limits is very different than outside
city
limits. Yes,
definitely.
There's different things, and especially when we're dealing with somebody that wants to purchase the property, you know, understanding that we may have to excavate to turn things back on. I'm going to be really honest when I say I just imagine that there was a switch to flip water back on in city limits in Fairbanks, Alaska. There's not.
In Fairbanks, Alaska.
They have to blow up the street to
yeah,
to turn
it's very
on.
Unique. I've never lived somewhere where the system is set up the way our system is.
It was
very eye-opening to find out the thousands and thousands of dollars it can cost to turn on water.
I felt better, though, with the amount of people that believed the exact same thing I did. So I was like, this is actually a pretty expensive process. And they said, no, you just call the water company and they just turn it back on. And I said, yeah, in other states, that's exactly what happens, but not here.
So if the property's been kind of abandoned, it's been left alone, and it's been sitting there for 3 or 4 years, the water's been shut off, bills haven't been paid, it's going to have to go to an investor. Investor's going to be looking at it, and they're going to lowball it because they want to, one, they're going to put a bunch of money into it, and then, two, they have a certain margin that they're going to want to make on it. So you're not going to get what you expect for it. You're not going to even get market price for it unless you do a few things to it to get up there. So it depends on if you want to try to market it to some buyers who can do a rehab loan, mini construction loan, or if it's just going to go to a straight up investor who's going to do most of the work.
And another bigger one within city limits is the garbage bill is also one, because that continues clicking even if you're not putting trash out there. And so that's one that can get racked up, and people can be very surprised by the amount owed to the city.
And one more tangent. What's the highest water bill you guys have ever seen?
You go first.
I think 7,000 left on, like the water was left on, and I think they said it was $7,800 till they realized what was happening, and then they shut it off.
I can't. I think we had one over 10 one year, and this is years ago though. But yeah. Do you remember off the top of your head?
I felt like it was like 45 grand, but it was a big number.
It was huge, and.
So you just know that if you inherit a property, you haven't seen it, it could be left alone, it could be abandoned, it could need some stuff. Why do you have to turn the water on to do people, I guess, I assume a buyer cares. They want to make sure the water, do I have water, do I have water? I'm in city limits, but they just want to know what it's going to cost to get that puppy back up and going. Like you said, you don't flip a switch. So since we're on that tangent, what is the process to...
Yeah, so they have to, you have to find a contractor, A, that wants to actually come and work or can work within city limits. There's just some that, because there's permits that have to be purchased, and then there's also finding the right plans that actually show exactly where the water lines are. They're not all there, so it's
what?
Some, yeah.
And some of the more established, older neighborhoods, that it's not as clean cut.
Correct.
Where the water lines are actually located, which is interesting.
Yes, so it's a little bit of a guesstimate, but it's, and then it depends on whether or not they can actually use the pipes that are still there. If they can't, then you're looking, if they can use them, you're looking at anywhere from 10 to 15,000. I always like to estimate high. Because it's Alaska, and you never know what's going to be predictable when you get under there. You don't know if weather is going to hit us or something wild is going to happen, or if they're going to have to cut into more of the road.
And sidewalk sometimes.
Correct. And sidewalk, or how far back the pipes are actually going to be, because that's going to then from the distance can also affect us from where the actual starting pipe is into the actual line into the house. Or if it's not and they have to re-put in all the lines, you can be looking at upwards of 20 to 30,000, just depending. It depends on, again, that distance.
Yeah, a lot of variables.
So that, yes. I mean, if you're looking at a $50,000-$100,000 flip, you know, so you can estimate 10 to 25,000 probably for connecting water. So, okay. So if I'm listening to the show and I've just inherited a piece of property, I've been sitting on it, now I'm thinking I better do something with it. Now I know that's going to be part of the process. Obviously, we're going to get a hold of somebody like you, professional, to guide us through it. What else, what kind of other kind of pitfalls could show up more than just flipping on the water?
You're still looking at, again, it's depending on how you want to sell that property. If you want to do anything to it, if you don't want to do anything to it, you still got to take into consideration the roof. Like the condition everything's in, is that what you're kind of?
I'm just thinking more legal documents. Well, who are the legal entities? Who can sign for what? Is everybody in the family on board?
And also a big one is you might inherit a property. Everything seems that you've inherited a property, and when you start doing some digging and taxes are involved, and even though the one thing will say that the individual did own the property, there's a possibility that it actually has already been taken over by the state or the borough, but it hasn't been fully recorded, because we've run into that where there was one that sort of slipped through that they hadn't posted all the documents that it had already been turned over because non-payment on taxes. So you really need to do some footwork at the beginning.
Yeah, and so I think the key there is to yourself or have Jamie call down to the borough treasurer and find out exactly where they're at, and they'll usually tell you, okay, you need to bring these 3 years back up by such and such date, and then you're all good. Then we won't then we can stay the foreclosure, and we can hold off, and then you need to pay this and this, and we'll work with the title company to get it paid off. Title company's used to it, they're used to it. But yeah, you could find some weird ones, like Lisa said, where they didn't do their work, something slipped through the cracks. It's happened before, I'm sure it'll happen again.
Well, and there's a lot of stuff that's just lagging since COVID there's a lot of stuff still catching up to get recorded and properly posted, and you just gotta talk to a human face-to-face or on the phone and not just trust hitting the computer keys.
But yeah, I think finding out the finances of the house is important, and finding out, hey, if it's close to being, is there a mortgage to be paid off? And so I'm sure we've talked about it on the show before, but we'd all rather stay the foreclosure. It's best for everybody than to let it go through foreclosure. So usually we can, hey, if there's a real estate professional involved now, they're going to work on finding a buyer for it. Let's put a pause on everything and let's try to get everybody the best outcome for it. Any other legal items? Have you ever dealt with signers or family members or legal entities or trying to figure out who can sign for what or who's the executor of the estate or?
Yeah. The biggest thing was with executor of the estate, it's just making sure that you have all the right signatures. So once we know who the executor is, then making sure that who is supposed to sign has signed the correct paperwork, especially if once we're in the sale portion of the process. So to me, you have to see that document because, again, sometimes we can think that I think that I'm the one that can sell the property, but really I'm not. I just have the right to be able to do A, B, and C, but the person that actually owns the property is you, and you're the one that can actually sell it. So as your real estate agent, I have to make sure that you're signing all the correct documents.
Now, the executor doesn't own it, though. They're just the one who can legally sell it.
Well, there's different for the trust. Different probate situations. Right. Sometimes it can be only the executor that's clearing the properties because that usually is happening when they're paying off debts that the person that passed and they are in charge of it. Sometimes it will pass directly to the individual and they actually are holding it and they sign the documents. It really is it's case by case basis how the probate was handled.
Yeah. So help me out here, since I've never been an executor. Is it a surprise to somebody? Can it be a surprise? Yep. They just show up like, oh, my God, now I'm the executor.
Sometimes, yes.
Or do they know 40 years in advance and they just were expecting it?
It totally varies. Sometimes they have no idea whatsoever.
Yeah.
They're a surprise?
And they're in the lower 48, and all of a sudden they get a letter in the mail from a law firm, and it's saying so-and-so, your uncle so-and-so in Fairbanks, Alaska, has left you, and they have no idea. Other ones are very hands-on, and they know exactly. They've sat down with the person prior. They know exactly everything that's going to happen, what was expected, and they're fully in the know. So it really can be from one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
Can you say, yes, I'd love to, this is great, or no, let's put this hot potato to somebody else because I don't want to do it?
If they signed you as executor, you have to go through a court proceeding to be removed as the executor.
Okay.
You can't just say, hey, not doing it. They don't like that.
Can't just push the letter back and say,
no, return to sender. There's a whole process.
I don't think there is a return.
Have you in any of these estate sales or death sales, for lack of a better word, have you dealt with any family members, or any arguments or infighting or figuring out who the signatories are or who can sign for what?
Just decisions of price, decisions of how we're going to sell, decisions of, I think when you're dealing with a sale or a sale that involves the death of someone in the family, I think that you have to be incredibly sensitive. And not that I would imply that we're not being incredibly sensitive, but it's a difficult situation. And you don't know how the relationship is. So I feel like you're going to listen to, sometimes you can listen to an incredible amount of storytelling. And then it's hard to, when you're saying, you know, the house is not moving, we need to drop the price. A lot of them, that's either going to be a financial gain for them and they're trying to get as much money as possible out of it. And you can have somebody else that's like, we just want to be done with this process. Let's move this along. So getting everybody in the same boat, sometimes you have to initiate multiple calls. You may have to separate people and have one-on-one individual calls to just get them to understand why you're doing what you're doing. But in the end, I think everybody understands that we're trying not to hold on to something that's just going to sit there, because if the individual that has passed has kind of bequeathed this to somebody, there's a reason they want it sold.
And I think we've dealt with a few of these. It gets more complicated the more people that are involved,
yes,
that can have a say in the transaction is,
yes,
when it gets more complicated and getting everyone on the same page. And it has to be handled delicately. It's a difficult time for everyone. But it does, if you have four or five people that have a say, it's a little more hard to navigate the transaction.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we'll talk more about the 2022 dying out and less of people dying in their homes. I do want to talk about short sales too when we come back.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Welcome back, and we're going to continue our wrap-up of 2022.
Yeah, and by the way, did we introduce Jamie?
I forgot to introduce her at the beginning of the show this time.
Some lady here. We just grabbed her out of KFAR, and she just hopped in here and... She's just pretending.
Thank you.
No, Jamie Napolsky, I always want to pronounce her name wrong, but Napolsky is here with us. She's been on the show many times. She's 2 years-ish in real estate, but yep. Has the experience of somebody's been in the industry for 30, 40 years. She's got thrown a lot of craziness the last 2 years, and it's semi-common for people their first year, but she's learned a lot first 2 years.
When she joined us, I mean, one, joining during a pandemic is an interesting time to jump into a new industry, but then you definitely have seen the gauntlet of transactions, and you've been handed some ones that even Kirk hasn't seen, and he's been doing it for, what, 17 years, 18 years?
Something yes. like that. Yeah, when she joined us, she was 23, and now she's 56, so it's...
it's weird how that happened, but I'll take it.
Another item I wanted to touch on is short sales and how to avoid foreclosures, and Lisa reminded me that I think I touched on it at the very end of a show, and we never just kind of left
we
people hanging.
We didn't circle back because we had a guest for the following week, and, so we couldn't get back to it.
And we were talking off the air that we're always going to see foreclosures in any market, buyer's market, seller's market. It ebbs and flows, and obviously a lot more when it's a buyer's market, not a seller's market. And not so much these days because there's just so many people have positive equity in their homes, and there shouldn't be a lot of reasons for people going into foreclosure. But we're still seeing them so there's some reasons that are going out there. And I think, Jamie, you said you saw 7 on the MLS. Lisa, you're reminding us that not everybody has perfect credit, and so they might not be able to
tap into that equity
or do some creative financing with the lender. Most of them want to restructure the loan and try to avoid you going into foreclosure, but some people just want to walk away, or I've heard other people from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, they just, hey, you can just walk away from your home, leave your keys. And it was actually a popular thing at one point where everybody was just, hey, I throw my keys on the desk and I'm out of here. So, and that's not really a good thing for you.
We haven't seen that in years.
And especially if you're in military, you might want to double check how your security clearance might be affected, or how your job might be impacted if you go into foreclosure. It's usually just a bad thing. So.
Yeah, and also it's very important, if you're facing those kind of situations, talk to your lender. It just putting your head into the sand is not going to fix anything, and communicating with a lender, there might be options out there that you're unaware of, and they might have some creative ideas. And so the quicker you're able to communicate with them and see what your options are, it's the better for you and your family.
Yeah, and talk to your real estate professional too. Of course, I'm biased because we do real estate, but they're the ones who can help you get out of it too. So You got to throw pride out. You got to nip at the butt ahead of time. Something's happening. Let's say you got in too much of a house. You didn't do your homework. Your real estate professional didn't do your homework, and you got into too much of a house. It cost too much to run. Whatever. Something happened in your life, job, whatever. It's not happening anymore. So first, yeah, like Lisa said, talk to your lender. They can usually work with you to modify. They'd rather modify your payments than see it go into default and then into foreclosure. So the other thing is, if you just want out of the house, then let us work with you, because we'll work with your lender to sell it short. And so short sale is basically selling short of what you owe on it. So you bought a house for $250, you owe $240 on it. We think to sell it right now, especially if it's a market there where the prices are going down. I'm not saying that's what's going on right now, but when we get to that point, it'll come. We've watched it all.
Ebbs and flows.
We've seen everything. But when it starts ticking down, you got to get ahead of that curve, and it could sell for less than what you owe on it. So let's say you owe $240. Really, to sell it, you need to sell it for $230. Well, that's okay. We can. And so many people are too proud. They'd rather break even on it or try to make some money off of it. And they get it's just a lose-lose situation. And then they end up going into farther in default, and then it goes into foreclosure. Then we're done. So nip it in the butt, get a hold of us, and we can guide you through it. Get a hold of your lender. We can do a third-party letter where we can talk to the lender, and then we get all of our information together. The first thing that they're going to want to do is find out what's going on. Why are you in this position in the first place? That'll be part of your letter that you're going to write them. And the next thing they want to do is find out. It'll be a hardship letter. You just explain to them what's going on and how you got here and what you're trying to do. The next piece is to fill out a financial statement. So every lender is going to have a different short sale package. So Wells Fargo has one, Alaska USA, the big lenders, they all are going to have a different short sale package. And in that package will be a financial statement. So they want you to fill that out, because if they find out, oh yeah, you're sitting on $80,000 of 401k, and you got a bunch of stocks, and you got a bunch of grandma's silver and blah, 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 then they're going to say, y'all need to liquidate that stuff and take care of this. You can't just go sell your house.
And at this point, you probably also would want to reach out to your tax professional, because there are some tax implications of many of the decisions you're going to make, and you want to make sure that you're making the correct decision, because there can be, depending on types of loans and what you're tapping into, there can be some pretty big tax bills attached to that.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, Lisa. And I think it'll come down to if they find out if you're solvent or not. And so if you're insolvent, that's one thing. If you're not, then you might have to pay taxes on the $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 that they let go on the loan. So they're going to fill that out. You're going to fill that out, get to that to them. In the meantime, they will have acknowledged the third party letter that lets us start speaking to them. And then from there, they'll chime in, because you've done this more recently than I have. I've done a billion, but it's been a while, Jamie. But you know, they're going to ask you for a copy of the listing, saying, hey, yeah, y'all are trying to sell it, and what you're trying to sell it for. You, they might want a copy of the listing agreement. I don't know if they've asked for that from some of them.
Yep. But a copy on the MLS itself.
Yeah.
So that
to prove it's marketing.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're they want to see that you're being proactive, you're taking steps. But it's every single one wants to see that that's been listed on the MLS and what they want listed for. Because if you have it listed 50,000 over what they owe, then they're like, well, then you all need to go do your thing and get it sold, and then then you can pay us off. But no, obviously it's going to be sold, typically listed for short of what they owe on it. So what was next in the next step that you took with them?
And then it was just communicating with the lender, trying to get a sale on the house. And then if they need, some of them ask for a title.
Preliminary title commitment, or
yes.
Okay,
just like an example from title, and then
I'm so sorry. She's talking about a mock HUD, so
yes.
Mock settlement statement.
Yeah.
So if you've been through a closing, when you go to close, it'll show all the dollars and cents according to the sale, who gets what, if
the
seller's getting some money back, and the buyers bringing money to the table, whatever it is. Yeah, they want the title company to do a mock HUD. And if the mock HUD says, oh, yeah, the buyer is getting $40,000 back, they're going to be like, no, this doesn't work for us, because we're not going to sell it short and then let him go to Disney World with his family.
Right.
And that's not going to happen. So they want to see that they're, you know, that they'd be short of what they owe.
Yes.
So thanks for bringing that up.
Yep.
I forgot about that piece. Important step.
And it's just really important to communicate. I mean, I really think, you know, communicate with your real estate professional, communicate with your lender, tax professionals, and keeping everyone in the loop. And I really think sitting down with a real estate professional is a good step, because many that have been doing this for a few years have gone through the transaction and know what to expect and can sort of guide you on what will be asked for, because there are a number of things that are too long to discuss here that the bank will have you do to go through the process.
Another key step is being aggressive on it. You don't want to sit around and try to get the best dollar for it. And for us, if made an extra $10,000 to $20,000, that's a few bucks in commission. We don't care about that. We want to do what's best for you and what's going to be best for the lender, best for everybody. But the thing is to stay on top of price and just keep knocking that baby down until you find a buyer or an investor, if that's the case, who can pick up the house. So for me, when I get a short sale, I'm aggressive. I keep hacking at that price until I get to the sweet spot where all of a sudden we're getting a lot of showings and then we're getting one or multiple offers on it. But waiting, it never helps anybody. It doesn't help the lender, doesn't help the seller. So you just stand on top of that price and price it appropriately to begin with and just hacking it down as you can. So I think that's important. Have you had any luck with a short sale that you're doing?
This is actually, my short sale is changing right now, and he is going to pay off his mortgage. So it's changing.
I know,
he's changing. So we're changing in the middle of it.
And which, that again, happens often.
Yep, it's just communication. And I've had communication with both the seller and the lender. So just keeping everybody in the loop of where we are, which to me is fantastic.
That is great, yeah.
We want to see.
It's exactly what we want to see.
But you flushed that out and through this process, didn't you?
Yes. So again, it was just communicating whatever needed to happen and making sure everybody was in the loop. And as the real estate agent, I circle back to everybody getting everything. So just because the lender asked for something also meant that the client, the seller, got the same information to know that they're getting the same thing. So everything's transparent. And then if something doesn't make sense, how we're talking about communication or we're saying sharing things, sometimes things sound scary. Which to me, when we're talking about talking to a tax professional or talking to your lender, sometimes as a first-time home buyer, I feel like they can feel very overwhelmed by that. And so I just say, if you don't understand it, have them break it down in layman's terms for you. What does that exactly mean? What are you exactly needing from me? Because again, like Lisa and Kirk are saying, they want to help you 100%. They don't want to make this process scary for you. And you just need to keep asking till you understand exactly what you need to get to the lender and get to the tax agent. Because at the end of the day, they do want to help you keep your home. Nobody wants to see anybody go homeless.
And these are all professionals, and of us included. We know most likely this is your largest asset. I mean,
right.
Sometimes it isn't, but a lot of people, this is their largest asset. So it can be intimidating. And everyone, all the professionals understand that. I mean, it's a fact of life, and they've dealt with it many times. And so it's just, you should feel comfortable talking to people.
Yeah.
And don't let it slip, because you could be two weeks in default or 2 months or, it could be going to the courthouse steps.
Never assume.
Yeah, just if you feel like you're going that direction or you're already headed that direction, just stop it all and get a hold of somebody, whether it be your lender, your real estate professional. And let us help you point that in the right direction. And when you do a short sale, nothing's coming out of pocket. It's going to be, they don't want you to bring any money. They don't want you getting money back. You're just coming to the table. It'll be zero on your side. When you're the seller, you're not going to get anything done. You're not going to have closing costs paid for you. You're getting the property as is. But usually you're going to, it's going to be a good deal for the new buyer too. So a lot of good stuff there. I appreciate it. Jamie, thank you so much for coming on board. We appreciate you. Happy 2020. And if people want to get a 2022, thank you. 2020. Yeah. I don't know why that year should be way out of my brain. Happy 2023 coming on up. And if people want to get a hold of you, how do they?
Yeah, they need to seek us out at the fantastic brokerage of Next Home Arctic Sun. Uh-huh. And located near the Chowder House. You can call me at 907-378-2400.
Awesome. Thank you so
much. Thanks so much, Jamie. And thank you, everyone, for listening this entire year. We really appreciate you. And if you ever have some topics or questions about real estate, feel free to email Kirk at kirk@nharticsun.com. Or if you have an idea that you would like to cover it on the radio show, reach out to us. We have gotten a few calls of topics that we're going to cover in January. And we thank you all again and enjoy the wonderful 2023, I hope.
Take care, all.
Have a great Saturday. Stay tuned for The Buzz.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, a Last Frontier Mediactive production.